So while you are standing, go ahead and grab your iPads, your iPhones, whatever you use to read from the Word of the Lord. Turn to the book of Luke, the Gospel of Luke, the 12th chapter. And I'm going to start at verse 13 to get us started. And I just wanted to say while you guys are finding it that I wanted to concur with what Stacy said, and that our kids at kids camp and at youth camp had a great time. And if I'm not mistaken, I believe at youth camp they told me that somebody gave their life to Christ. Was it Hannah? I think somebody gave their life. Okay, she's not here today. So that's what I'm saying. So when we send our kids to camp, it's not just to go have fun. We are teaching our kids the foundation of who we are and what we believe. So so if you have it, say I have it. If you don't have it, say hold up. I have it. All right. Luke, the 12th chapter, verse 13 starts out. It says, "Now someone in the crowd said to him, 'Teacher, tell my brother to divide the family inheritance with me.' But he, being Jesus, said to him, 'You there, who appointed me a judge or arbitrator over the two of you?'" Verse 15 says this, it says, "But he said to them, 'Beware and be on guard against every form of greed. For not even when one is affluent does his life consist of his possessions.'" Let's read our mission statement. And let's read this with just as much fire and fervency as we just sung with on three. One, two, three. Connect Church exists to make disciples of Jesus Christ who love God, love people, and impact the world. Amen. Dear Heavenly Father, we just come to the throne of grace today. God, we just thank you for who you are. God, thank you that we have an opportunity, God, to come and worship freely, God, and to praise who you are, God, that you are the God of gods, that God, it's the very breath in our lungs, God, that you give to us. And so, God, here we stand fellowshipping around your word today. And God, I pray that this word today fall on the good soil of our hearts, not on the stony places and not on the rocky places, but on the good soil of our hearts. So that this word today, God, in this sermon series that we're in, God, in living generously, God, that this word today falls on the good soil of our hearts, that it might bring back a harvest, God, that we might live the life, God, and be the people and live generously like you're calling us to do. And so, God, here I stand with one request, and that is, God, for you to wear me like a glove. Use me, God, for the very intents and purposes that you created me for, and that is to make your name great. And so, God, I just give you all the praise and all the glory, God. Thank you for this opportunity to stand here and proclaim your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Let everyone say amen. You may be seated. And so, as you know, we are in a sermon series called Living Generously, and this is the last sermon in this sermon series, so you can tell the other people that it's okay for them to come back to church. That was just a joke. So today's sermon title is The Enemy of Generosity. The Enemy of Generosity. And my idea today that I want to hopefully clearly get across to you today is this, is that generosity overcomes greed by making us aware of the needs of others. Generosity overcomes greed by making us aware of the needs of others. And so in this sermon title, as I was preparing, what really leaped out at me is that we have an enemy. And we have an enemy of generosity. And this enemy is not the enemy that you think it is. This enemy is an enemy to our hearts. Because we have subtle enemies and we have not so subtle enemies. And the enemy of generosity is greed. And if you read the Bible, you know that throughout the Bible, one thing that is constantly repeated over and over again is guard your heart above all else. Why? Because for it determines the course of your life. And I believe the enemy to generosity is greed. And greed is a state in our hearts. It's a clear danger. It's a clear enemy to generosity. Why do I say that? Because in this world that we live in today, what is highlighted, what is magnified, what is applauded, is materialism. Now, please don't get me wrong. I like nice things. And we can have nice things. But the problem becomes when the things, when the stuff, when the material have you. When your very essence is tied to what you have, where you live, and what you drive. But see, for some of us, we can't see it, and that's why this greed is a subtle enemy. Because unless you are aware of it, and unless you keep your heart bent toward God, greed can easily slip in. And so, I want you to understand today that greed is when we desire money or power more than we desire God. I'm going to say this again. Please don't misunderstand me. I'm not saying that you can't have things. God is not saying that you can't have things. But when your number one, when your chief aim in life, when you wake up every day and your only desire is, what can I get? How can I get more? Because now it is prevalent on all of the social media platforms and all of the graphics, everyone is about hustling and grinding. I'm the boss. I got to do this. I have to do that. And that's well and fine, but here's the thing. For us as believers, we can't get caught up and forget that our hearts first belong to God. We can't live and act and govern ourselves like everyone else. Why? Because we belong to God and we are stewards of what God has so richly blessed us with. And so we have to have a different perspective, and our perspective has to be that this is God's and I'm stewarding it, and God, how do you want me to handle what you have so richly blessed me with? And so in our text, in Luke chapter 12, Jesus is teaching a crowd. And the disciples are in the crowd, and he's teaching this crowd, and in Luke chapter 12, he's dealing with the Holy Spirit, and then he's telling the disciples, and he's telling the crowd. He says in Luke chapter 12, he says, "Do not fear." He says it over and over again. He says, "Do not fear." He says, "Do not fear the person that could kill the body only." He says, "The person that you need to fear is God, who can put you in hell." And so Jesus is just going about doing what Jesus do, and he's teaching and encouraging the crowd. And lo and behold, the text says in verse 13, it says, "Now someone in the crowd said to Jesus," he says, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." And so if I can paint the picture, Jesus is busy teaching, and he's pouring into his disciples, and he's pouring into the crowd, and he's giving them all this good teaching about the Holy Spirit. And lo and behold, somebody just out of the clear blue sky says, "Teacher, teacher, teacher." And he turns and he says, "Tell my brother to divide the family inheritance with me." Now, track with me. Jesus is teaching on the Holy Spirit, and he's encouraging them to not fear. And out of nowhere, this joker starts talking about, "Tell my brother to give me half of what my dad, what our father." Like, where did this come from? Like, dude, I'm teaching over here about this. I'm all in teaching, and you're not hearing anything I'm saying. All you're concerned about is what? Your family inheritance. But check out how Jesus responds. He says in verse 14, and please underline this. He says, "But he said to him, 'You there, who appointed me a judge or arbitrator over the two of you?'" Jesus is saying, "Man, I'm not, that doesn't even concern me. Why are you bringing that up now?" He says, but since you're here, and since you had the audacity to interrupt what I was involved in at the present time," he says here, "but he said to them." So Jesus goes from speaking to that person, and he turns to the whole crowd, and this is what he says. He says, "Beware and be on guard." Now, when somebody tells you to beware and be on guard, that's a very serious thing. You really need to pay attention when somebody tells you, "Beware and be on guard." Be on guard against what? Every form of greed. Please highlight that. Why would Jesus turn from the guy that distracted him and turn and speak now to the whole crowd, and he tells them to beware? And not only a beware, but he says, "Be on guard." Why? Because greed is a real and present danger. And I like what Jesus says here. He says, not just greed, but he says every form of greed. And see, I think for some of us, we don't understand that there are different types of greed. And so he says, be on guard against every form of greed, for not even when one is affluent does his life consist of his possessions. And I really like this trans, translation, because for some of us, globally, the majority of us here in this auditorium today, we live an affluent life. Globally, compared, in comparison. But then there are some of us that live an affluent life, even just based on the standards of just this country and this state. Some of us have a lot more stuff than we really need. Did y'all hear that amen? From the back of the crowd? God is at work in this sermon right now. He knows. But he says that life does not consist of his possessions. And some of us, we can't be generous because we have accumulated so much stuff. And then we accumulate the stuff, and then we don't even share it. That's a form of greed. When God has so blessed you with a house and a swimming pool and all of this stuff, and then you don't want to invite nobody over, that's a form of greed. When your house is so big that you have enough of space to where you can invite family over, you can host families, and guys, I'm just gonna be really just flat honest right now. I am really preaching to me, and y'all get a chance to hear this, okay? I'm just being honest. Because God has just richly blessed us. And we have to check ourselves daily to make sure that we are living a generous life and we don't let the affluency and our status and what we drive control us. Because greed is subtle and it's easy to justify. Well, you know, I need another car. Well, you know, here's an easy one. Well, you know, with gas now being where gas is, I need a smaller car, but I'm going to keep this truck. But now you've taken on more, so now you can share less. I promise y'all, this sermon series is going to be over in about, I mean, just give me about 30 minutes and y'all, and this sermon series is going to be over, all right? but the thing I want you to understand is that we have to be aware, and what Jesus was making this man aware of is that the enemy to generosity is greed. And greed is subtle. And we have to be aware of it, and we have to guard our hearts. And if greed is a real and present danger, then there is and you can go ahead and put this on the screen, there is a language of greed. And I'm going to show you the language of greed. Look at verse 16. Verse 16 says, and he told them a parable. And he says this, he says, the land of a rich man was very productive. And he began thinking to himself, saying, what shall I do, since I have no place to store all of my crops? And he says, this is what I will do. I will tear down my barns and build larger ones. And I will store all of my grain and goods there. There's some key words in here that I want to bring to your attention that is the language of greed. And if you can go ahead and put the other one up there now. The language of greed starts with I. Did you notice how many times in this text that the word I was used? He says, he began thinking to himself, saying, what shall I do since I have no place to store my crops? And he says, this is what I will do. I will tear down the barns and build larger ones. And he says, I will store all my grains and my goods there. I think if I count right, that's 6-7 times that the personal pronoun I was used. The language of greed always starts with I. And as you're going through life and as you're living a generous life, you have to be aware of the times when you use the word I. Because I is the language of greed. And can I tell you, in the book of Ezekiel, when the story is told of how Satan was cast out of heaven, Satan himself starts off with these several statements, and it's the same statements that this man is using in this statement here. He says, I will. Satan said on several occasions, he says, I will, I will, I will, I will. And when your conversations are consumed with I, you are speaking in a greedy language. And you're speaking the same language that Satan used. And when you use the word I'm going to tell you, I listen to myself and I listen to others talk, and what you say tells me a lot about you and your heart. Have you ever just paid attention to someone talking and everything is I'm about to? And if they're real country, I'm finna. What you say tells a lot about your heart. And so we must understand that greed is a real and present danger, that there is a language to greed, but then also, this is the other thing that this text teaches me, is that there are traps to greed. And why am I telling you all this? Because this living generously doesn't just happen. And I'm thinking about all of the newborn children that are on the way. Have you ever noticed that you don't have to teach a kid to be greedy? We really have to teach our kids to share. Because I can ask, I could go, well, since all of them in here now, I could walk over to any of them, and if they have a cookie in their hand, and I ask for some of it, or if they have two, and I ask them for one, What are they going to say? No, they're going to say what? It's mine. But you didn't, I know that there's not a parent in here that teaches your children to say mine. And so the problem is not, the problem is that we have to be trained and we have to be transformed to live a generous life. It does not just happen. And so that's why I'm really taking my time and plowing into this, because this is probably the first time that some of us have even heard this. Just because you raised your hand and confessed the sinner's prayer and you gave your heart to God, you did not instantly become a generous person. If you were stingy as a sinner, you're going to be stingy as a believer. Unless God does something to your heart, and unless you submit yourself to God, God, all of this belongs to you. What do you, how should I use it? And that takes a surrender of the heart. And that's hard for a lot of us to do. Is to surrender our hearts to God when it comes to our time, our talent, our treasures, and our relationships. We must be taught this. And we must do it intentionally and on purpose. And here's the thing, we need to do it even when it hurts and even when we have been hurt. By being a generous person, we still are called to live a generous life. And so that's why I'm really taking my time and going into this. And there are some traps to greed. Check out verse 19. It says this, it says, I will say to myself, there he is again, speaking of I. You have many goods stored up for many years to come. Relax, eat, drink, and enjoy yourself. That's the trap. We all want to get to this place where we could eat, drink, and take it easy. But I like what the next verse says. This is what he said to himself. But look at what God said to him. God said, you fool. Now, for God to call him a fool, that must be some very serious stuff. God is a good God. God is a gracious God. But God will call you out. Has anybody here ever been called out by God? Anybody ever had those hard conversations with yourself, with God speaking in your ear, and he might not have said fool, but you felt foolish after God talked to you, amen? Like, God, why didn't I just do it the first time? But he says, you fool. This very night, your soul is demanded of you. And he says, and for all that you have prepared, you've taken all this time to accumulate all of this stuff. You invested all of this time in doing all of this stuff. He says, and as for all this that you have prepared, here's the compelling question. Who will own it now? I've yet to see, and I've been to many a funeral. Haven't seen a hearse at anyone yet. I mean, a U-Haul. I'm sorry. You see Hertz. I'm thinking Hertz the truck. Anyway, a U-Haul. At a funeral yet. And I'm not preaching against stuff. But the mistake that this man made was that he only thought about himself. And you notice he never consulted God. He never asked God, God, what should I do with all of this, God, that you have blessed me with? God, what should I do with this? And so God said to him, you fool, this very night your soul is demanded of you. Who will own it now? Who's going to own the boats, the campers, the four-wheelers, the jewelry, the watches? The nice shoes, all the suits, all the cash that you stored up. Who's going to own it when you're gone? Well, our first response is my kids. Could be. Or your kids could squander it. There's this big thing going around now is everybody is focused on generational wealth. I get that. I understand that. The Bible speaks to it, that a good man leaves an inheritance to his children's children. I get that. But what we're dealing with right here is your heart and why you are accumulating them. And have all that you accumulated is that the sum total of who you are. Because the traps of greed reduces a person, it reduces your life to a collection of things. And the other thing about greed is it ruins people. Look at verse, the second part of that verse, it says, such is the one who stores up treasure for himself. And so there's traps to greed. But I would be remiss if I did not give you the antidote to greed. And so what is the antidote to greed? If it's a trap, if there is a language to it, if it's a real danger, how do I fix this? And what is an antidote? An antidote is a remedy to counteract a poison. And greed is a poison. And so what is the antidote for greed? The end of verse 21 gives it to us. It says, for such is the one who stores up treasure for himself and is not rich in relation to God. So the antidote to greed is that you can't have a deep relationship with God and be greedy. Greed and a deep relationship with God are diametrically opposed to each other. Because if your heart is bent and broken for the things of God, I'm telling you, there is nothing that you, that we have, that we should have, that if God told us to give it away, that we wouldn't freely and inherently give it away. When you are in a deep relationship with God. I can speak for myself. There is nothing that I have, that Tanya and I own, that if God spoke to us and told us to give it away, we wouldn't. Because a deep relationship with God and greed does not go hand in hand. And so the antidote to greed is to have a deep relationship with God and then have an understanding and daily ask God this: God, with what you have blessed me with, how should I proceed? God, how do I handle what you have richly blessed me with? But the problem is, most of us don't think that we're rich. But we are very rich. We're rich in time. God, what should I do with my time? Other than just coming on Sundays, if all you do, the only time that God gets from you is on Sunday, then I'm going to tell you this, and this is not going to sound good, but you're being greedy with your time. God has blessed all of us richly with time, and he's blessed us with talents. And there's a lot of talent that's sitting out in this auditorium today that is not being used, or it's not being used to further the kingdom of God. It is only being used to serve you and yours. Can I tell you today? You're being greedy with your talents. Some of us have accumulated so much, what's the word? I think they call it debt. Debt. Some of us are in so much debt that we can't give because of the constant pursuit of more. God, I just need one more dress. Ooh, them shoes look so... I'll use me. God, those shoes look so good with those jeans that I just bought. God, that hat. Oh, and you know, that chair. That chair is going to look so good in my house. Oh, I know exactly where it's going to go. But you got all these other chairs. You got all these other shoes. You got all these other jeans. Some of us have garages full of stuff. If the Christians of God had a garage sale, we could really fund the national deficit. Just if the Christians sold everything in excess, we could wipe out debt. At least we could wipe out debt for all of the children that have student loans. If we just had a garage sale. But the antidote to greed is this deep relationship with God. That not just consists about coming to church on Sundays, coming to a Bible study every now and then. It's this daily walk with God. This daily surrender to God. This daily conversation with God. God, what are you up to today, and how can I be involved? God, who can I bless today? God, who can I spend time with? God, who can I be a a mentor to. Because I believe every person needs a Paul in their life, somebody who's the mentor. Everybody needs a mentee. Everybody needs a Timothy in their life. And everybody needs a friend in their life. Who are you spending time with? Who are you encouraging? That's the antidote to greed. And then, lastly, we must give and trust the promise of God. And I like what it says in Luke 6, 38. It says, give and it will be given to you. That's a promise. That is a promise. And so the antidote to greed is that we must give and then we must trust God. And we must trust the promise of God. And the promise of God is that when I give, it is going to be given back to me. But it's not just going to be given back to me any old way. It says they will pour into your lap a good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. But here it is. It says, for by the standard of measure, it will be measured to you in return. And so as I close, they're telling me I'm out of time. In the game of poker, I don't know how to play it, but I've watched it a couple of times, and I see this one point in most of the poker games I've observed. There comes a point when the person has such a good hand that they decide, well, they have such a good hand and they trust that this hand is the hand that's going to win. And they trust it so much so that they take all of their chips and they push their chips in. And they go all in. Because they believe and they trust that they have the right hand. Well, can I tell you this today? That you do have the right hand. And you are in the right hand. When you trust what God has promised, that if you live a life of generosity, that God is going to give back to you. But you have to make it up in your mind and say, God, I'm all in with all of my time, all my talent, all my treasure, and my relationships. And I understand, God, that it all belongs to you. And so here's the challenge as we close out this sermon series today. The challenge is this. I want to challenge each and every person here today. I want you to give something away. I'm going to challenge you to give something away. If it's your time, it's your talent, it's your treasure. I want you to give something away. And then I want us to remember our generosity prayer. Pray it this week as we close out. And remember, God, you have blessed me in all ways, at all times, with more than I need. Lead me to live generously and share joyfully with others. Oh, let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we come to the throne of grace today, God. We just thank you for who you are. God, thank you for this word today, even though it was tough to hear. But thank you, God, for gently reminding all of us, God, that we do have a real enemy in greed. And it's an enemy to us being generous. And so, God, I pray that we live generously, that we understand it, that we speak the right words, that we avoid the traps, and that we remember that to overcome greed, we'll be aware and give to the needs of others. And so, God, I just thank you for everybody that's gathered here today, God. Thank you that this word falls on the good soil of our hearts. Thank you, God, that as a fellowship of believers, God, that we're found and known to be a very generous church. And God, we just thank you for all that's going to, all of the lives that we're going to impact by being a generous people. So we just thank you, God. Thank you for this time. And thank you for everybody that's gathered here. In Jesus' name we pray.